And aren't we grateful that he did? Amen. We're glad you're here today, and we do have some visitors, and we're certainly glad that you're with us and hope you'll come back again and visit with us. I hope you like my Scottish tie today. When I showed Becky what I was wearing, she said, "Oh, you look like an Easter bunny." And I said, "Well, that's not very flattering." And she said, "Oh, yeah, Easter bunnies are pretty." And I said, "Oh, so I'm pretty today, huh? Okay." Anyway, so much for that. Let's get down to more serious things. When I look on the tombs of the great, every emotion of envy dies in me. When I read the epitaphs of the beautiful, every inordinate desire goes out. When I meet with the grief of parents upon a tombstone, my heart melts with compassion. When I see the tombs of the parents themselves, I consider the vanity of grieving for those whom we must quickly follow. When I see kings lying by those who deposed them, when I consider rival wits placed side by side, or the holy men that divided the world with their contents and disputes, I reflect with sorrow and astonishment on the little competitions, factions, and debates of mankind. When I read the several dates of the tombs, of some that died yesterday, and of some 600 years ago, I consider that great day when we shall all of us be contemporaries, making our appearance together. When you reflect on all the marvels that were associated with Jesus, what events top your list as the most significant? Could be his virgin birth, or teaching in the temple at the age of 12, healing people's infirmities, or raising the dead, or dying vicariously for you and me, or being resurrected from the dead, or ascending into the heavens and sitting at the right hand of God. Every one of these, as you know, is vitally important. I don't think you can really choose just one event as being more significant than another, because they were all essential to the ministry of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of prophecies that were made about him. But this morning, I want you to focus your attention on the glorious rising of the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, if you'd like to read along with me or look at the screen. "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Can you imagine going to that tomb, expecting to give Jesus or prepare Jesus with the ointment that they had brought, and find out that he was no longer there, that he had been resurrected from the dead, even as he had said before in his ministry? And throughout that 3-year ministry, Jesus forewarned his followers that he was going to be killed by the opposing forces. But Jesus also provided them with hope in prophesying his death. They could not imagine what it would be like to be without him, and yet Jesus held out a great hope for them. He would be resurrected on the third day. If his disciples could not comprehend the necessity of his death, then his talking about a resurrection was completely incomprehensible to them. Those disciples who truly believed in the divinity of Jesus marveled at his limitless powers during his ministry. He continually amazed them, as he did all the people who witnessed what he did. But of all the miracles that Jesus performed, his ability to resurrect the dead must have been the most amazing. The widow of Nain's son was about to be buried when Jesus felt compassion for her and gave life to her son once again. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days when Jesus commanded him to get up and to come out. No man had done that before, and no man has done that since. But still, Jesus' followers did not understand his statement about life after death. But what were the disciples to think when the only one who had ever had the power to resurrect the dead was dead himself? Darkness filled the land when Jesus was dying on the cross of Calvary in the middle of the day. From noon until 3 p.m., darkness covered the land. And not only did darkness cover the land, but darkness filled the hearts of all of Jesus' disciples when he was crucified on the cross. And on that Sunday morning, the women walked to his tomb, fully expecting Jesus' body to be inside that tomb. And they knew that while Jesus lived, he gave and gave and gave of himself. But they also know that when one dies, he can no longer give in the way that Jesus gave. But little did they know, Jesus was going to give them the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to enable them to remember the things that had occurred and to be able to say the things that they needed to say and write the things that God wanted them to say. So those women who went to his tomb intended to serve him one last time. And yet they received the greatest news ever proclaimed to mankind. He is not here, for he is risen. Again, do you remember what Jesus told Martha after Lazarus died? In John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked that question, "Do you believe this?" And he asked that same question of you and me today. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and that he is the life? Now, Jesus was not saying that he was the one who could resurrect other people, although he could and he did. Jesus said he was the resurrection and he was the life. He had the power to resurrect all the dead. And he was also the one who was resurrected by the power of God. And by that power, all mankind will be resurrected at the second coming of Christ. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. He said that Christ Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Jesus is the very one who guarantees that every one of his faithful disciples will be resurrected to eternal life with him. And he can guarantee that because of his own resurrection by the power of God. You know, there is a story about a missionary. A missionary in Brazil, who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle. They lived near a very large river. The tribe was friendly, but they were in serious need of medical attention. A contagious disease ravaged their population. People were dying daily. And there was an infirmary located in another part of the jungle. And the missionary knew that he must lead the people to that infirmary in order for them to receive the proper inoculations. But there was a major problem. In order to reach the hospital, they had to cross the river, something that the tribe refused to do. They believed that the river was inhabited by evil spirits. They believed that if they entered the water, it would mean certain death for them. The missionary pleaded with the tribe to set their fears and superstitions aside. He explained that he had crossed the river to get to them, and he arrived unharmed. He led the people to the bank of the river, and he placed his hand in the water, and the people still wouldn't believe him. He walked out into the river and splashed water on his face, and the people watched him very closely, but they would not enter the water. Finally, the missionary turned and he dove into the water. And he swam beneath the surface until he emerged on the other side. And he stood up and he threw up a triumphant fist into the air. And he had entered the water and he had escaped unharmed. And then, and only then, the Indians broke into cheers and they followed him across. He had to lead them. Jesus had to lead us in his life and in his death and in his resurrection before we would have the faith to live with him and to die with him and to be resurrected with him. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I think one of my slides is missing, I'm sorry. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Because Jesus was resurrected, he does not want us to fear death. He wants us to look forward to the time that we will be resurrected and that we will join with him forever. Aren't you grateful that Jesus was willing to enter that threshold of death and that he emerged triumphant in order to show you and me that there really is nothing to fear? But death is mysterious to us, isn't it? Death is the unknown realm about which we know very little. And Jesus wants us to understand there is nothing to fear in crossing over to the other side. Because he was willing to experience death, we can approach death with hope rather than in fear. You can be assured there will be a final resurrection from the dead in which all who have died will participate. Those who are followers of Christ will follow Jesus into eternal life. And those who choose to separate themselves from Christ here on earth will be separated from him for all eternity. There is another death and burial and resurrection that you can participate in this life, and many of you have done that. Paul writes about it in Romans the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's where we die to our sins. That's where we die with Christ. Verse 4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. What a great blessing that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. That we can look forward not only to the life that we live here, but to the fact that we will have a transition into eternity, that will live with God forever. No stone could keep Jesus in that tomb. And no lock can keep him out of your heart unless you refuse to give him the key. I hope and pray that each one of you well, look within yourself. Have I done what God wants me to do in order to receive the salvation that he promises me? Have I been baptized into Christ so that my sins can be forgiven? Have I been raised with him? Am I walking a new life, a life that certainly we make mistakes, we sin, but we have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ? As a Christian today, how are you living? Are you living giving glory to the resurrected Christ? If there is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation that our Lord Jesus Christ gives you today, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.